I want you to look again, Matthew 25, and we're going to read a few verses together and then pray, and I hope you'll really pay attention and listen carefully tonight. Matthew 25, verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability," or different ability, "and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so, he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Father, I pray you'll help us to hear and to heed these wonderful words, these amazing words of our Lord Jesus, and these so many parables in this section of Scripture. And I pray that this parable and the meaning of it will motivate us, dear Father, to so serve you, to so be faithful that someday perhaps we would hear the words, "Well done." Bless your people to the hearing of your word through the Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want you to look again now, verse 14. And this is where our Lord introduces this wonderful parable about the kingdom of heaven. Verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." I think most of you here tonight understand fully what a parable is. We've taught an entire series in this church many years ago on most all of the parables. And you know that a parable, therefore, is a story. It is a story that is told by the Lord to illustrate one or two basic spiritual truths about how the kingdom of God operates. A parable is basically an extended metaphor. Okay? It is not an allegory. And if you hear a preacher using parables as allegories, or if you ever hear this preacher using a parable as an allegory to force into some teaching or doctrine on a church, then don't feel bad about walking out. It's not an allegory. And especially where people take every minute little detail in the parable and then claim that it teaches whatever they're saying, whatever doctrine or hidden truth that they're trying to give out. Someone says, "Well, you know, the man who was given the 5 talents. Obviously, 5 in the Bible is the number of grace. All right? Fine, 5 is the number of grace. But when they start with a parable, by doing that, 5's the number of grace, and what did he do with the grace he was given? Well, on the day of accounting, it shows that he doubled in the parable. And the second man, he was given 2 talents, and he was able to double the 2, which makes 4, and 10 plus 4 is 14. That means 14 centuries of grace. But wait, there was another accounting. The man with the 1 talent sloughed off, and his was given to the man with 10. So now that's 15 centuries of God's grace. And what happened in the 15th century? Hello, Christopher Columbus sailed the Americas. And doesn't verse 14 say that a man traveled into a far country? And that's not all. 15 happens to be the point in the 15th letter of the Greek alphabet. It's Omicron. Omicron is a star in the constellation Leo. And what Christopher Columbus did, what did he use to navigate his ships with? What did the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria set their eyes upon? The Cayman Islands. And what's this parable about? Money and accounting. And what's the Cayman Islands known for? Money and accounting. We all know that. Coincidence? Oh, I think not. Now, that's bad hermeneutics. And if you hear people do that with parables, go ahead and shut them off. That is not how you interpret or apply any of the parables of our Lord. Not by Christ. These are given by him to simply illustrate one or a few certain truths about the kingdom of heaven. And as such, this story in Matthew 25 presents to everybody here tonight very, very powerful reminders indeed. A couple of Sundays ago, or recently, we mentioned how many years ago when I was a youth pastor, Louise and I took a group of high school seniors to Washington, D.C. for their senior trip. And one of my memories of that trip was learning about the Jefferson Memorial. Beautiful, circular, colonnade structure. It was built in the 1940s. And some of you have been there. Thomas Jefferson, as you know, was a deist. But it's amazing because the annual Washington Easter sunrise service is always held at his memorial. Engraved in the memorial, at the foot of that bronze statue of Jefferson himself, are the words, Thomas Jefferson, 1743-1826. Thomas Jefferson, I know this, and you'll know this if you ever take the tour there. It's fascinating stuff. He died on July the 4th. He died on July the 4th, 1826. It was the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. He died to the day. 3 hours later, John Adams died on the same day, the same 50th anniversary of the Declaration. And in the tour, occasionally someone who will look at the statue will comment on the engraving, and they will say, there it is, Mr. Jefferson, 1743-1826. And they'll say, look at that little dash. What little tiny dash. And be reminded that that small dash between those two dates represents all of Jefferson's life. And all the impact that that one life has had on the entire world for the cause of human freedom. Everybody has a dash. And you know, beloved, what really matters is what that little tiny dash will represent in your life and in mine. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25 is a parable about your dash and mine. And it's a parable that gives an illustration, if you will, not from our viewpoint, not from history's viewpoint or man's viewpoint or the business world's viewpoint. This is not from the perspective of your friends or your family or what they think about your life on this earth. But rather, it's from the perspective of heaven itself and God. It has been called, as you know, the parable of the talents, but I hope that you don't make the mistake of many who always apply it and refer to it as man's talents, a talent for singing and so forth. This is not about a parable about your talent for counting or your talent for speaking or writing or singing. And we know that because of what our Lord says in the introduction, verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. You see, the master in the story is giving to his servants what? His property. His goods. And how exactly does he do that? Verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, the word talent here is an old English word for weight, W-E-I-G-H-T. And unless your talent like mine is gaining weight, you realize that what he's really talking about is weighing of precious metals. It's a talent. It's a weight. And how much metal? Well, that would simply matter on the talent was 60 pounds. So the determination of its worth would depend if it's 60 pounds of silver or gold. If it's silver, 1 talent at the time was worth about 6,000 denarii. A single denarii is a day's wage. So imagine now, even the 1 talent man, as we're going to look at in just a moment, he was giving something close to 15 years worth of salary to take care of while he's gone. A lot of money by any standard. And yet in every case, the master called even the 5 talents. You'll notice in verse 21, he calls it a few things. In verse 40, a few things later on. which reminds us that he's a very, very wealthy master. Now, the question tonight is why? Why is the Lord Jesus telling his disciples this story? Because he knew we would hear this story and apply it in our lives as well. And it's days before the crucifixion and before he's going to leave them. And again, as in all parables, there's really only a few lessons, if you're honest with them. Sometimes just one, but a few lessons that are put forth, but they are, as always, very, very powerful indeed. For example, the first and the obvious message in the parable concerns the master and the father and how long he's going to be gone. Look at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. See the last line of verse 15? And straightway he took his journey. Look at verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth. Pastor, why do you believe that this is journey, the fact that he's gone for so long, why is that such an important part of the story? I can tell you why. Do you see the first word in verse 14? Do you notice that it's the word for? Well, what does that tell you? Folks, it tells you to read the verses before this because there's obvious connection. What is the verse before this? Verse 13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as. You get that, right? Understand something. The parable of the talents is the third in a series of parables at the end of this Olivet discourse where he uses the word watch seven times. Several times. He says, watch, watch, watch. Watch for what? Watch for the return of your master who's gone away on a very long journey. And yes, yes, beloved, this trip, this going away, this journey is a major part of the story. And it illustrates the fact that Jesus would be leaving his disciples, leaving them in just a few days and being gone for a long time and one day returning at an undisclosed time. All three of these parables talk about the return of the master. Look at chapter 24. Cross the page, verse 36. Of that day and hour knoweth no man. Chapter 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler of his household, to give them meat in due season? Verse 44. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Verse 50, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of. And so it goes. Now, while all of these verses apply to the end, the very second return, the coming, this journey, if you will, applies to this whole age. And more specifically, for these three servants, it applies to the little dash that represents their life. Jim Blaylock, born 1958, there's the first year, and there's going to be another one, and there's a dash in the middle. That's what applies for them. In other words, look, the master is away. You and I are his servants. Someday, the master will return. So, the first obvious thing concerns this journey. The second thing in the text concerns our opportunity. Now look at this is where we have to find out what the talent really represents. Look at verse 14 again. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now the talent represents something that belongs to the master, something that belongs to God, right? But is given. Stewards. Is given to his servants, verse 15. To one he gave five, to another two, and to another one, to every man according severally his ability. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? It means that the master knows. He knows his servants. He knows them very, very well. He knows everything about them. He knows when they're going to be born. He knows when they're going to die. He knows where they're going to live. He knows precisely what opportunities are available to each and every servant. And he knows them so well that he, in his omniscience, in this case, the Lord, he distributes to them his property according to his wisdom and his will for them. For some, two is enough. For others, 5 would be too many. Now, let's illustrate it. There's 5 talents, okay? 5. This is Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards is the son of Timothy Edwards, the godly pastor who marries Esther Stoddard, daughter of the famous Solomon Stoddard, whose writings on revival were widely known in the American colonies. Godly, godly heritage. Jonathan Edwards' home life obviously was infused and endued with godliness, blessed with intellect. Jonathan Edwards entered Yale University at 13 years of age. He became a professor by the time he was 21, with 2 degrees in theology. He was brilliant. If you've ever read his writings, he had an absolute brilliant mind. By God's grace, he had a lot of ability. So here's 5 talents that God gives him. He's going to be living in New England in the 1700s at the very birth of a brand new nation. The sky's the limit with the impact that his little dash can possibly have. Number 2, let's say here's a man. He lives in America. He's given 2 talents. But let's say this man lives in America in the 21st century. And he's going to have a job, a 9-to-5 job. He's going to have 7 or 8 children. And he's been given 2 talents. He may not live in Massachusetts during the formative years and days of a brand new country, a great nation as it will become one day. But he's given 2 talents from his master. And then there's a third man. He's given 1 talent. Let's say this man lives in Alaska in the 1980s. And he's a businessman. And he's told to use what he's given wisely until the master returns. Now, the only common denominator for all 3 of the servants in this parable is not so much their ability. The master knew that they had different abilities. That's not what's common about them. Nor, obviously, is it the number of talents that they are given. 5 is different from 2, which is different from 1. And obviously, as we find, the production is not the same either. What is the same, however, is that all of them were given something. They're all given something by the master. The talent itself is the common denominator. They have a talent. They have an opportunity, so to speak. See, the talent that represents opportunities applies to every single child of the living God, doing something for the master while he's far away on this journey. And of course, anybody who makes use, who makes good, if you will, of the opportunities that they are given, that takes effort, right? It takes work. It takes risk. It takes faith. And it is true, a man like Jonathan Edwards was given tremendous opportunity by God. Tremendous. Where again, in the formative years of a brand new nation, he was given a pulpit in Northampton, Massachusetts, and was able to influence all of the original colonies in one of the Great Awakenings. He was given 5 talents, and he used them. He invested them to the glory of God, and it became a great awakening. 5, just as the parable says, right? We just read this. 5 turned in to 10. Look, if you would, at verse 21. His Lord has said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord." He also that had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord." Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. So even the one lost his opportunity. 5 turned into 10. 10 turned into 11. Now follow this very, very carefully. Here's a man in the formative years of a new nation who invested the opportunity that God gave him. And if again, entering Yale at 13 is not the key necessarily, but it's a reminder that here's someone who started early and just did what he could. And he was gifted by God with opportunities. Second man, he's given 2 tokens of opportunity. Now look, this man was not placed in time and a spot at the beginning of a brand new country. He wasn't put where Jonathan Edwards was. He's a businessman, let us say, from Atlanta or whatever. And this businessman in Alaska with the one. But none of this matters. Hear me. None of that matters from the master's viewpoint. Opportunity alone is not the measure of whether or not you will hear well done. It is not the measure of somebody's faithfulness. You see, God is the one who grants to his servants the degree of their opportunity, so that he's not going to judge you by the level of opportunities that you had. Remember, those 5 young people from Crown College who perished, remember that? On Yeehaw Junction, for those of you who are new, we had a singing group here. And years ago in our other building, and they were young people. And they were in their teens and early 20s. And I took them out to eat, and we had a great time, saw the sunrise, the moon rise. It was a super moon that morning, that night. And yet that morning when they left here on Yeehaw Junction, they were hit head on. And by that afternoon, they all went to heaven. All of them. Well, let me ask you something. Do you think it matters to God that they didn't have near the opportunities that the president of their college had, who will be here Sunday? Do you think that they did not hear? Remember Jim Elliot? Missionary to Aka Indians. He was 28 years of age. By the way, here was a man who had a great mind. If you've read his writings, even at that age, he died when he was 28. Barely got started with his work. And the world says, what a waste. What a waste of gifts and talents and abilities. But that's not how the Lord looks at it. Let's find out, because the Lord in the parable answers the question of how he evaluates this thing. The third thing you'll notice is accountability. Now here's the question. What exactly are these 3 servants called to account for? All right, look at verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents... went and traded with the same, took the 5, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had gained 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Let's stop here for a minute. You notice carefully what the Lord Jesus says. He says, one servant is given 5 talents who looked at his opportunities and he took the risk. He took the initiative. He did the work. He doubled what God or the master gave him. The second one, who had only 2, we say only 2, but again, even with the 5, he calls it a little. You're faithful with a little. He had 2, right? He did the same thing. He ends up with 4. But then you have this guy. And this third man was afraid. Pastor, how do you know he was afraid? Well, because verse 25 says, I was afraid. It's that Hebrew word in the Greek right there. And I was afraid, he said, and I went and I hid thy talent. Of course, that's his evaluation. You know what I think he was? I think he was lazy. Oh, Pastor, what makes you think he was lazy? Well, because God says he was. Okay, verse 26. His Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant. So maybe he was both. Maybe he was fearful, but for sure he was lazy. And he was too lazy to put out any effort. So he buried it. He buried it. So I've got to make sure I have my 1. And then he didn't invest. It makes you wonder, by the way, what he did all those years. We know what this man was doing all those years. We know what this man was doing all those years. It makes you wonder, if he buried it, what did he do all those years? Eat, drink, and be merry. Had a good time. Living the good life. I don't know, but he wasn't doing anything at all for his master. Nothing. Now look, there is nothing wrong with what you do in life. Unless it's evil. I'm not talking about anything wicked or evil. The vocation and the location, which is what everybody talks about with young people, and I don't teach this to our young people, that the most important thing is vocation and location. Where are you going to live and what kind of job are you going to have? That's what we do. There's nothing wrong with whatever you do, vocation and location, so long as, unless it's nothing for the Lord. So here's the accounting. He who had five now has 10. He who has two now has 4. Now, if you'll notice, the gap between these two servants is actually widening, isn't it? Matter of fact, even with 4, this man still hasn't reached what this man had at the beginning, or a woman. So they could compare and say, it's not fair, I don't understand, or I don't feel like I'm super spiritual, that guy's better Christian than I am, he's going to get more rewards, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not how the master accounted it. That's why Paul said, they comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You should never look at what God is doing in someone else's life and compare yourself to them. Because it's not what God has called you to do. Exactly what they are doing. So, this man, in the world's eyes, is losing ground. This man in the fleshly accounting is going backwards compared to him, right? No, not in heaven he's not losing ground. Because notice what the master says to both of them. Verse 20 again. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered me 5. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord answered unto him, and the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, not many, even 5, over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well, no surprise, man. I mean, he got 10. No surprise he heard, well done, and now I'll make you ruler over many, and you were faithful over a few things. No surprise. But here's the second evaluation. Verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, not bad, no. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Whoa, wait a minute. He hears the exact same commendation? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he receives the exact same reward? I will make thee ruler over many things. Why not a few things? It's the exact same, folks. Had the 1 talent servant simply embraced his opportunity as limited or unheralded as it may seem to the world, he would have received the exact same commendation as this man. He would have heard the words, well done. Thou, good and faithful servant, I will make thee ruler over many things. Because it's faithfulness. Marcel and I were talking the other day, Monday, I think, about a trip that she and Jeff took out. One of our missionaries. We were given a van a while back, and we voted to give that van to one of our missionary families. And we still support them, the Foresters. They founded a church in New Mexico to the Navajo Indians. And when they drove that van out there and stayed in their home, you know what they saw? Not a megachurch. They saw a faithful couple, a whole bunch of godly kids, their kids, a small congregation. They saw faithful servants. The Foresters have been there now for over 35 years, and it's in the desert, almost in the middle of nowhere. It's one of those places that takes 20 years nearly just to get a good foothold. So what do you think? Brother Neil Forrester, our missionary, can never really have a giant evangelistic crusade there or some big TV ministry. Not even a large church in a place called Standing Rock. He'll probably never be at a book signing or get a bunch of honorary degrees from some famous seminary. I doubt anybody outside of his church and family and his supporting churches really knows how faithful he has been and what they've done in that place. He'll never get invited to pray at the White House. He was not given 30,000 denarii of opportunity in the New Mexico desert. He wasn't called to any other place but that place. But he has taken the talents that the Lord gave him, and he's turned it into four. And you know, it is true, of course, as he stays faithful, he will hear the exact same word and commendation as D.L. Moody, or William Carey, or Hudson Taylor. We said, those guys, what do you think the Lord's going to say? Is he going to get louder with them? Well done! Well done. He's going to hear the same words of commendation. You ladies in this room tonight who are faithful moms, faithful wives, you will hear them as well. As a matter of fact, Paul says in Ephesians 6 that slaves, now what kind of opportunity does a slave have in the first century of Rome, an idolatrous nation, empire? Slaves, most of whom are illiterate. What great, vast opportunity they have. You know what Paul wrote to them? He said that they will receive of the Lord his well done, whether bond or free. He said, as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, as to the Lord and not to men. He said that if they're just good, godly Christian slaves, God will honor them. Now look, there's something in the text. It's a little detail about this servant with the one talent that's given by Christ, clearly for a reason that I want us to notice before we pray. Because it matters. Verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. I was afraid of you. You're a hard man. I went and hid the talent, and lo, there thou hast is thine. In other words, here's his excuse. His excuse is he saw the master, his perception of God, his perception of the Lord, was that he was hard. And he was afraid of him. But when you read the parable, that doesn't describe the master at all. The way Jesus presents the master, obviously, he entrusted his servants with a lot of money for a very long time. And then he rewarded them richly, not just fairly, but with grace, richly. So that it's a reminder that Jesus said that for a reason. Your perspective of him, your perspective of God, of the master, always influences your service to him. The Bible says, Paul says, the love of Christ constraineth us. I got saved when I was 12. I've been to a lot of churches since I was 12, either as a church member or as an assistant pastor, an associate pastor, or a pastor. And I can tell you that when guys get up there and they fleece the flock every week instead of feed the flock. Rah, 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 rah. Lazy bums doing, not doing this. A lot of those people, that's their perspective, that's their image of God. I saw you as a hard man. I'm scared. I'm afraid. That no matter what I do, it's not going to be accepted. Here's the master's answer to that man's excuse. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not struck. You knew that you're a steward. You knew that I gave you this opportunity. Verse 27, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. At least put it somewhere where it earns interest. In other words, here's what he's saying. There's no excuse for any child of God as a servant of God for doing nothing. Zero. With the opportunities that God gives. Putting the talent in the bank would have at least given, it wouldn't have been 100% reward, no. And nobody's life is 100% perfect or productive for the Lord. Mine definitely isn't. But it would have done something for God's kingdom. It would have given some glory, some light, brought somebody closer to the gospel. And even that little something, whatever little it was, it would have compounded over time. And that's, by the way, exactly what one life does. One godly couple, and there's some godly couples with some godly kids in here tonight, one godly couple can affect generations of people. Even if, quote, that's all that godly mother ever did. Verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. No, he's not. He's perfect. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's holy. But he's full of mercy and grace. He gave the opportunity, not so that he could say, oh, I can't wait for him to mess up. Squish. Not at all. This is why Jesus states in verse 28, one of the universal laws, if you don't use it, you lose it. Verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10. This one wasted it. And there are believers who they're just making money, eating fancy food and enjoying life and having a good time, and they're doing zero. And so the Lord says, I'll give the opportunity to someone else. The lesson of the journey, Jesus said it was a long journey, but he came back. The parable of talents is a reminder. It's just a simple reminder from God that little dash in the middle of your life, how that all of us, as long as we are breathing, we have some measure. You know, that's one of the things that I think sometimes Christians misunderstand about missionaries when they come. And sometimes the missionaries themselves misunderstand it. I'm going off to Sri Lanka, and what are you doing? God's not calling everybody to Sri Lanka. And one of the misunderstandings is, boy, if I'm not doing something like that, that's so not true. The one talent, whatever it is, the one opportunity, it's just all of us. As long as the heart is beating inside of us, we can do our measure to advance God's kingdom. As the Bible says, you know, when Peter was introducing Jesus to the Gentile world, think about this for a moment. Peter is introducing Jesus, in the book of Acts, to the entire Gentile world. This is who Jesus is. Maybe you've heard of him. He was crucified and resurrected. Let me tell you, that one verse says, this is Jesus of Nazareth, quote, who went about doing good. That's how he summarized his life. To people who didn't know who he was, he went about doing good. Boy, did he ever. It's interesting to me that Jesus doesn't tell how these servants invested their talents. I mean, obviously, there's hundreds of things they could have done. But he doesn't say that, and really, it doesn't matter. Time and opportunities in that time all belong to God. It's a few things to God. He calls it a few things to him. But what is important and glorious and wonderful is our heart and our willingness to do what we can, when we can, with what we have. It's just making a difference where you are. And God's people said, Father, we're grateful for your word. Thank you for this parable. And there's nothing new for all of us here tonight, Father. We know that. And so many times we've taught and preached from these parables, but tonight we thank you for reminding us that all of us, it's not the vocation or the location, that all of us, where we are and what we're called to do, can make a difference with the opportunities that you give us. That you take notice when a servant, that a slave in the first century is a good slave, that he works hard, that it's work unto you, that if a woman is a godly wife, that you take notice and it's well done. When a man is honest at work and decent and takes opportunities to give you glory, that it's well done. And I pray that our people will hear it to your honor and to your glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.